Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The record, library for Eddie Murphy.
Happy birthday to Eddie today.
How old is Eddie Murphy?
Take a guess. Wiggy's got to know this.
Wiggy, how old do you think Eddie Murphy is?
I bet he's 60-ish.
60-ish?
Yes.
I would say older than that, I would think. I mean, no, maybe
60-ish.
How old is he?
59 today.
59. Okay.
Good right. Job, Wiggs.
Not bad.
I'm looking at Wiggs' computer. He's got his Wikipedia page up.
Oh,
Wikipedia.
Classic Eddie right there.
Hey, we haven't done our game Wikipedia yet.
I know.
When are we going to do that?
Epic fail by me. Want to do it at 9 o'clock today? We have an open and everything.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Well, we do? We have an open?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do that. And we haven't done our... our quarantine game show, Isolation, with Danielle at home against the listener. We should try to do that.
A lot of game shows, I noticed.
Wiggy, what else are we going to do?
What else are we going
to
do?
Get us to 10.
Here's a text. Is it a read every text Friday? I think
yep.
It is, right? Greg, you're such a moron. They have to close the parking lots at the beach. Otherwise, there would be a million people at the beach in a free-for-all because people are stupid.
But then why open the parks?
Yes.
It'd be the same situation.
So this is what the governor of... I love our governor. I love the man. I think he does... I think he's done a great job during this... I thank him for his leadership during this tumultuous time.
You're going to text him an apology right after you criticize him.
But yesterday he decided to close the beach parking lots in Massachusetts and open the parks up. I mean, people are... Remind me... Are we allowed to go out and get exercise? And is the beach not the perfect place to social distance?
If you live by the beach, but you're not supposed to be driving to Crane's Beach from downtown.
You can't
downtown,
drive somewhere?
You're not supposed to, only for essential reasons.
What's... So nobody should be driving anywhere, Ken.
Correct.
Okay.
So the only place that you should be, like, when you're talking about exercising is walking in your neighborhood or where you live.
That's
it,
right, Ken?
Correct.
So only the people
you got, like, a mile radius around your abode.
Only so on tomorrow, I think Sunday it's going to be 60.
Yeah.
Sunday, somebody is not allowed, one person, one solo person with a scarf on their face. They're not allowed to go and take a walk on a beach in Massachusetts.
Well, then everybody's going to do that, and you're
going
to have crowded
be one
beaches.
Person.
Okay.
If you're like me and you were walking distance from the beach, you're a big winner. But April 3rd, 2020, Greg Hill outraged for the inability to exercise. This is a big moment.
Right. Well, the problem is all I do is sit at home, watch TV, and eat. And it's not working out well for me. The eating part is not working out well for me.
Can you do one favor for me and the listeners of this show this weekend?
Sure. Yes, Curtis.
Can you do a food journal? and then come back Monday and report. I want you to be honest.
He won't.
I want you to note all of everything that enters your mouth.
But
this
from the point that from the point that I leave the show today
until Monday morning, and I will get a nutritionist on Monday to review your weekend.
Well, see, now that you said it, I was going to say I think about what I eat, but I won't. Right. All right, I'll do it.
11:35 p.m., walked to kitchen and had some Cheetos.
No, 11:35 p.m., 4 Yasso bars. Because one Yasso bar is better than an ice cream bar, but you have to have 4 Yasso bars. That's the way I do it.
2:15, listening to OMF, open some Pringles.
All right, I'll do that. You want me to do a food journal for the weekend?
Yes.
All right, and then we'll analyze it on Monday's show? All right. I'll do that. That's fine with me. This is Dean. Hello, Dean.
Hi, how are you?
What's up?
Hey, I cook down in Connecticut in Mystic. I was just wondering, I heard you say earlier that you were expanding the food thing for the restaurant workers down into Connecticut. Is that correct?
Yes, Restaurant Strong. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Go to restaurantstrong.org. We're going to talk to Jim Cook from Sam Adams in about 10 minutes, but go to restaurantstrong.org. There's no possible way for me to express my gratitude to Jim Cook and his team at Sam Adams. So they started the Restaurant Strong Fund here in Massachusetts with the Greg Hill Foundation, and they gave $200,000 to start it. And then they said, we'd like to give $2 million, and we'd like to do this in 20 states. So if you're a server, bartender, you're on the line, you work back of house, front of house, and you're unable to work, go to restaurantstrong.org and apply there, and you could receive a $1,000 grant check to help you get through this time. So, and we'll talk to Jim Cook a little bit about that coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Greg, you live out in Stowe, and there's a bunch of conservation trails, and I'm sure you've noticed on the weekends and during the weeks when it's nice out, there's 20 to 30 cars with people walking in the woods with their dogs and their pets, and you know they're all there. So why are they closing the beaches and leaving all these parks open? I think it's ridiculous. It's hypocritical. They either got to shut it all down or do something to that effect. What do you think?
What would be your recommendation? Would you allow the beaches and the parks and the, the greenway and the, the Storrow Drive that everybody's walking over by the Esplanade, the Charles River? Like, would you allow those places to stay open or would you close them?
That's a tough one. You know, I mean, I don't have the answer for that, but, I have a dog, and it has to be walked, so what do you do?
I think you walk it in your neighborhood. I would shut it all down. I would shut it down for, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, shut it all down, and then open it back up. Hopefully, if you do this for 3 weeks, and then you'll be able to kind of, it might hurt for the time being, but at least you won't get to the point where we're at now. Now it's anytime you set a date, as soon as you get close to that date, you just push it back. Why not just shut it down for 3 weeks?
Let me ask you this, and please be honest. Ken, don't fly into a absolute panic when I bring this up. But what is the difference between a group of people that are going to a grocery store and a group of people who are walking outside on a beach or in a park?
Because people have to go to the grocery store.
And people
it's an
don't
essential
have to exercise?
Service. They don't have to go
people
to the
don't...
beach to exercise when it's crowded. Ellen just tweeted in, I was at Revere Beach. People were sitting on the walls right on top of each other. My mother couldn't park to bring her groceries in.
Did she call 911?
She should have.
On the people?
Well, Ellen said that. Then we got to get on board.
Well, it's a read every tweet Friday.
It's a read every tweet Friday. They arrested in Rhode Island. They arrested some Massachusetts golfers.
Well, they violated the governor's executive order about out-of-state visitors quarantining.
This was.
I love how they executed this, by the way.
Yeah.
This was great. So in Richmond, Rhode Island, three guys show up and they park at a McDonald's. And they take the golf clubs out of the car. They have a buddy from Narragansett pick them up. They go to the local golf course. So meanwhile, the cars are parked at the back of the McDonald's for hours, so the police are called.
Because and there was a Massachusetts plates. Okay.
So when the police come, they check everything out. They get the story that the guys loaded the golf clubs into the vehicle with the Rhode Island plate. They come back a few hours later. They get dropped off. They had reportedly played a round of golf at Meadowbrook. And police said that the men knowingly circumvented the state's quarantine order that requires any visitors coming into Rhode Island for a non-work-related purpose to quarantine for 14 days. And the police say that the men also ignored the golf course's rule that only Rhode Islanders could play there for the time being. So they have been issued a summons to appear in court on May 14th.
But are you okay with the police wasting their time on this, Curtis?
Crime is way down. Come on. Anybody, what else do they have to do? This is it.
Yeah, I ain't doing nothing out there.
I think it's absurd for the police to be arresting people on a golf course in Rhode Island.
They
probably
should just be ticketing them and giving them a fine or whatever.
It's my favorite saying, catching the ants, missing the elephants. That's what we're doing. We're seeking out random guys on a golf course just trying to get away and have an hour of happiness and peace and quiet in their life, and they're getting arrested.
And this was a nothing burger a month ago, thanks to Curtis.
But don't you think, Greg, though, with the governor, right, it's like that one caller said, it's kind of hypocritical because you don't really know. He says you close the parks, but the beaches are still open. So, like, people could technically go walking on the beach. They just can't park in the parking lot.
Yeah, they can't park in the parking lot.
But maybe they park on the street, you know, a block or two away.
Oh, let's have a good idea. Let's get them take a ride-sharing car that is full of other people's germs to the beach instead of driving themselves.
All right. Well, are you ready for the most overused phrase of the last 24 hours? We live in interesting times.
Oh, certainly do, Greg. Certainly do.
It's the new normal. This is unprecedented, Curtis.
It really is. And now everybody's tweeting the show account videos of an empty Logan Airport. I'm not saying it's full every day. I just was saying that plane was full, according to David Wade. I don't know when that was, but it is scary. This guy, Craig, just tweeted in a video right now of Logan. There is not a soul inside.
Nobody's there. What's the poll at? Result-wise.
I haven't done the poll yet. I'll do it right now.
Okay, you're going to do it now. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Sam Adams founder Jim Cook, who is taking Restaurant Strong to 20 different states, including the New England states where you are listening right now with the Greg Hill Foundation. So we'll talk to Sam Adams founder Jim Cook coming up after What is Trending.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the all-new Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now here's What's Trending on WEEI.
Listen up, Greg. Lose weight instead of gaining it during the lockdown with Awaken 180. It's a customized program to help you curb hunger, navigate shopping lists, and takeout menus results at home with Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Maybe they can sponsor your weekend journal.
Maybe they can.
Yeah.
Wiggy, you're trying to lose weight.
I am. I actually am. I'm doing Awaken 180. I'm down 26 pounds
in
3 weeks.
Nice. Whoa. Good job.
None of that came from your head, clearly.
No, I have a big head. My head is big. I wear a size 8 and a fitted cap, so it's good for head button.
Can we get a lie detector in here? Wiggy's like LB. Like, every time he goes on a diet, he loses 50 pounds.
I got the skill.
I am not letting Wiggy weigh himself naked, though, in the studio like LB used to.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Oh, yeah, many times.
Oh,
yeah.
What?
Stripped down to nakedness.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only way you can get an actual weight, Danielle. You should know better than that.
Wiggy, congrats on the 26 pounds.
Yep.
It's kind of like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic, but good luck.
That's all right.
All right.
Well, almost there.
Well, heroes are stepping up like Jim Cook and Samuel Adams and the Kraft family yesterday chipping in to get those masks, a million of them, touching down at Logan 6 p.m. yesterday. The 767 red, white, and blue Patriots wrap plane bearing the first of two shipments from China. And even President Cuomo, I should say, thanking Governor Baker and the Krafts yesterday.
Listen, I think that was the only good call I've gotten in about 10 days. Mr. Kraft is a special man, and what he did here is just pure generosity and goodness. Governor Baker, my colleague in Massachusetts, he's a good friend. We have a good working relationship. But even for Governor Baker, for a governor to say, I'll help another state besides my state, that really says something about his character.
So great story there, obviously. In terms of other football news, Tom Brady has a backup quarterback in Tampa, Blaine Gabbert re-signing on a one-year deal to be his backup down there, Hill Man.
That's fair weather, Tom. I mean, warm
weather,
Tom.
Wow. Warm Weather Tommy.
Make sure you refer to him by his self-anointed nickname, mm-hmm. Warm Weather Tom, going forward. Please call him that.
And Brady Week is winding up today. Adam Schefter joins OMF today on Dale and Keefe at 12:30. They're picking the top five weapons of Tom Brady all time. Bledsoe was pretty good yesterday with OMF. He talked about why Brady left. He cited Wiggy, something new and no weapons in New England. Those are the two things he mentioned is why Tom left. He wanted to try something new.
I still think, you know, I agree with him on the weapons part, but I think ultimately it comes down to, you know, the money. If they would have gave him the right money, then he comes back.
And don't forget WEI Sox Classics continuing tonight and through April 17th. The Sox championship run in 2018. Tonight it's the 16-1 beatdown of the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. Game 3 of the 2018 ALDS. That starts at 7 with Mutt, and you can hear it across the WEI Shaws and Star Market Red Sox radio network. And that is what is trending now on the Gray Hill Morning Show.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
I read my coat, I called a bartender. So look, man, come down here. He got down there. So what you want? One bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Joining us right now on the Harbor One Hotline, my friend, the founder of Sam Adams, Jim Cook. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Greg.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. It's like yesterday was opening day, so I'm figuring maybe this will be opening day for us. So
yeah, yeah.
I'm going to open one.
We are. Oh, you're going to open one? What are you opening right now?
Boston Lager.
All right. How is it? Everything okay?
What? Breakfast of champions.
We're 3 weeks into the self-isolation. How many beers would you guess you have consumed in these?
On my second case, so okay. It's not excessive.
Okay, all right.
Just moderate, but enjoyable.
Well, a couple weeks ago, you were on this show and announced a partnership between Sam Adams and the Greg Hill Foundation called Restaurant Strong. And to give you credit, you wanted to help bartenders and servers because that's how you got your start with Sam Adams 35 plus years ago, is that they were gracious enough to allow you into their places and to try your beer that you had made in the kitchen. You started that off with $200,000 this morning, as we sit here, $538,987 has been donated to that cause. And we've been able to send out $451,000 checks to servers and bartenders and back of house people and those in the industry who are unable to work right now. We have a very exciting announcement today. And this is for all of you who listen to this show in Maine or Connecticut or New Hampshire or Vermont or anywhere who had been asking, could we do something like this for the New England region? And Jim, not only are you doing it for the New England region, but Sam Adams is stepping up and starting the Restaurant Strong Fund off with $2 million that we can take to 20 different states.
Yeah, we've been thrilled with the generosity of your listeners and, you know, frankly, your ability to just, you know, execute on this because, you know, you've got checks out to 450 people that have already made a difference. I think the Fed should have given you that stimulus money and let you distribute it. You'd get it into the right hands a lot faster than they're going to do it. So, yeah, we wanted to take the Restaurant Strong program to 20 states, and we're really hoping that everywhere else we'll have listeners with, you know, the big hearts that your listeners have, and we can make a difference in, you know, not just hundreds, but thousands of people's lives.
So if you know, real quick, if you know somebody who is out of work, who works in the restaurant industry in Arizona or California or Connecticut or Florida or Georgia or Illinois or Maine or Michigan or New Hampshire or New Jersey or New York or North Carolina or Ohio or Pennsylvania or Rhode Island or South Carolina or Tennessee or Texas or Vermont, then they should go to restaurantstrong.org. That's restaurantstrong.org. Quick application to fill out. And then if you're somebody who lives in any of those states and you want to donate to help those during their time of need right now, you can go to restaurantstrong.org and you can donate. And essentially, Jim, that $2 million, which you and your team have generously given, will get us started in all of those states with about $100,000. And we'll see if we can get those who are willing to donate to match that $100,000. And we'll end up with $4 million out of this that we can send out in $1,000 grant checks to those who are unable to work at this time.
Yeah, because these are, you know, the people, the servers, the bartenders, even, you know, the kitchen staff, the bus staff. These are the people that take care of us. And they've, you know, they poured us a beer, they've served us a meal for years, and this is their time of need. And we've just been really thrilled to be partnering with you to step up and help these people in their time of need.
A texter is asking how we chose the 20 states. I believe we chose based on where the most service industry people work, so therefore the most would be out of work. I believe that's how we chose those 20
states.
Yeah,
it's basically all the states in New England, because that's our home. It's not just Boston, not even just Massachusetts. It's New England. And then we added about 15 more that had the highest concentration of people who we thought would be in need. So it actually covers probably 60% of the U.S. population.
This is off topic, but a 781 texter wants me to ask you the most beers you have crushed in one sitting.
You know, it's probably, don't tell anybody, but it's like a dozen.
Oh, that's not bad.
That ain't bad. But I'm a trained professional, so I can get up to 12 packs.
So for those who are going to be, we might as well get a recommendation for those who are going to be obviously self-isolating all weekend. What do you recommend when it comes to what they ought to try? Maybe that's new.
Yeah, you know, I got a couple choices for them. The Sam Adams Variety Pack, because you might be sharing, so you're going to get four different beers in there. Mm-hmm. You know, we just with the Phantom opening day, we had our opening day, which is just releasing Sam Adams Summer Ale. So even though the weather's kind of dismal out there, you get a sip of summer, and it kind of pulls us forward to a summer that all of us can't wait for. Yeah. And then, you know, there is my favorite, Sam Adams Boston Lager. That's what's in my glass. Well, it's half full now. And maybe, you know, if you're an IPA fan, you know, Sam Adams New England IPA, which is beautiful, hazy, juicy, almost sort of luscious IPA. It's not bitter or thin or harsh. It's really smooth, almost silky.
Well, I want to thank you because, you know, we're going through a tough time here, and there are over and over again, I see stories about people like you and companies like yours who step up and want to support the rest of us. So it's an amazing thing that you have done. I want to mention from a competitive point of view that the Tito Beverage and his team at Tito's donated $50,000 to the Restaurant Strong Fund here in Massachusetts. So there's no competition. There's actually partnership going on in your business during this time.
Oh, too. Exactly. I mean, I know Tito. He's a really good guy from Austin, Texas. I did shots with him once in New York. So he's got a big heart, too.
Thanks to your team. Everybody's done an amazing job on this. And please go to restaurantstrong.org. If you live in any of those states or you know somebody who needs help in any of those states, continue to give here in Massachusetts, give in Maine, give in New Hampshire, give in Connecticut. And we'll continue to send these checks out. And Jim Cook, you're an amazing guy. So I thank you for everything that you do and everything you've done all along for the foundation. Thank you.
I want to thank your amazing listeners. You know, you and I just got this started, but they piled in. And so I want to thank all the listeners of the Greg Hill Show.
All right, Jim. Have a great weekend.
I'm starting right now. Cheers.
What a great job.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I got to give you credit. You know, what you're doing with this Restaurant Strong and everything, it's kind of bleeding over because, you know, you start to look on social media and other people are trying to follow in your footsteps on a lot smaller scale, kind of in the business that we're in.
Yeah.
So I think what you're doing is definitely moving the needle in the right way.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, it's a read every text Friday. So a 603 texter was wondering what the difference was between the delay in the stimulus checks and our $1,000 checks. But I'm, you know, we're not the federal government. So
no. Right. They move a lot slower.
I did
you don't have people's direct deposit info.
No. I mean, I mentioned earlier, I'm sorry if I offended some who listen to this show. I mentioned earlier that the $1,200 stimulus checks, I don't think are enough. I don't think that they're going to help people in the way that people need to be helped. This is an unprecedented economic disaster that we're sitting at the very beginning of, and it's not going to get better for a long, long time. I hate to tell you that. So we're bailing the airlines out. We're bailing the cruise lines out.
Yep.
What about the American people? What about those people who have small businesses? The people who have been the lifeblood of the country.
Who didn't have billion-dollar-plus profits.
Yes, like the airlines. 2.9, I mean, they spend a lot of money. They spend 40, I sound like Trump. They spend $40 billion. The airlines spend $40 billion to make $2 billion. But we're going to write them a check.
Right.
It's insane.
The airline prices are still the same. You think about, you know, I think it was Curtis who just looked at a flight from here to LaGuardia or JFK, and like the prices are still the same.
Well,
airline prices
gone down. But they've gone down, but nobody's flying.
I mean, did you make it through Mnuchin yesterday? I mean, I was trying to. He was talking small businesses and these loans that are launching Friday, but I have no idea what he's talking about.
I actually thought Mnuchin was pretty impressive yesterday, and I thought it was strange that the Greg Hill Foundation hired Jared Kushner.
Is Kushner a part of the top five most beautiful briefing moments?
I would like him to be. I gave Danielle the option.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he should be.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. No, I mean, listen, I think it's the $1,200 check will help. But if you're somebody who has lost your job here in Massachusetts, what $1,200? Like, right. What is that? What's
like a Band-Aid for a bullet wound? Yeah, it might help for a moment.
Right, but it's not going to do much.
But at the end of the day, you know, you see a lot of people that go, okay, I can use that to this month's rent. But what happens next month? Especially now, we don't know what's going on with the kind of like the governor pushed the social distancing or whatever, this kind of makeshift shutdown that we're in till May 4th. Right. What happens if he then come May 4th or we get closer to that date, he then pushes it back to June 4th? I mean,
if I were in charge, and thankfully I'm not, I would tell the banks, we bailed the banks out, right?
Yep.
So I would tell the banks, listen, we bailed you out last go around. Now you're going to cut some slack to people when it comes to landlords.
Mm-hmm.
So these landlords, and oftentimes these landlords have no choice, right? They're as leveraged as everybody else.
Right.
So they're saying, hey, sorry, you got to pay your rent. Go to the banks and say, listen, thank you. We bailed you out last go-round.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to cut everybody 3 months worth of slack on this stuff.
Are you going to have to eat it? You're going to have to eat a few months. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys got enough. You got CEOs that are making $25 million, you know, at some of these larger banks. Hey, listen, you might have to eat a few months of not getting rent, not getting mortgages, whatever it may be.
And $1,200, Greg, during Christmas time or peak travel times is barely enough for two people to fly round trip to Palm Beach on JetBlue. Hmm. If you think about that, that's where the money is, and that company that's gouging you every year when you need to travel is getting another bailout.
Did you just get that text from your father? He knows how much it costs.
And
you
he said, tell Greg.
Because he pays for it.
Yes. So tell Greg, thanks for employing my weird son.
All right. Coming up, we will get to Danielle in today's news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. It's time for
good news for you this morning.
The news
in 3, 2, 1
with your host.
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Cannonball!
Because I am good at three things: fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by Northeast Men's Health, specializing in men's sexual health.
Worth it!
On Sports Radio WEEI.
News team, assemble!
Well, what's going on, Danielle, news-wise this morning? What do you want to start with?
Well, the governor got a little bit emotional yesterday talking about the Kraft family and the masks that they went to go pick up, the million masks from China. And the governor spoke about that yesterday.
Jonathan, honestly, we can't thank you and your dad and your family enough for answering the call and helping make this happen. And for the many, many dedicated frontline workers across this state who are battling COVID-19 on behalf of the people of Massachusetts every single day, this gear will make an enormous difference.
Well, I think most everybody, I'll leave one person out of this, but most everybody thinks that that was an amazing thing that the Crafts did, so...
What are you pointing at me? I've given him credit for that.
We discussed the individual earlier. Wiggy brought up the individual.
Jamela Hill, she was the one who kind of, you know, put her tie of, well, you know, before you go applauding him, remember who he supported, which is the president.
Trump.
Donald Trump. But yeah. And I thought that was kind of like, you know, I'm like, really? You're going to go down that road at this time and, you know, this time when everybody's dealing with it. He did a great thing. He's going to save. He's helping save lives. That's all that should matter. Whether or not you like who he aligns himself with or who he supports, I mean, that should be neither here nor there in this time that we're in right now.
Pretty amazing thing. Pretty amazing thing. $2 million of his own money to go and do this. And so those who want to talk about how he supported the president and this doesn't matter are, in her case, she is a buffoon, an absolute.
Yeah.
And on it, people ought to hold. If you're going to make comments like this, you ought to be held accountable for them later. Like, I mean, the idea should be everybody is trying to work together to figure a way out of this and to whether it's economically, disease-wise, your neighbor-wise, like everybody ought to be figuring out a way to try to get us out of this.
People like Jemele Hill exude the qualities that they're ripping in Trump. They're blind by their hate. They have no way of seeing anything but their just absolute how much they despise the president of the United States, no matter what he does.
All right. What else going on, Danielle?
Well, Dr. Fauci said yesterday that it might not be a bad idea for everyone to wear masks. We will have the official recommendation coming either way, but he thinks that in this case, if you're going to go out and do stuff, you may want to protect yourself regardless.
It just makes common sense that it's not a bad idea to do that. It's not going to be 100%. And it's more not to protect you from getting infected,
right,
but to protect a person from getting infected from you. So when I go out in a situation where I can't guarantee I'm 6 feet away from someone, why don't I just put some sort of covering there?
Can you use anything? Does that, I mean, can you know, the president always mentions scarves.
Mm-hmm.
Can you use a t-shirt? Can you use a bandana?
I think it depends on how tightly knit the woven the fabric is.
You tape some saran wrap.
I saw on social media they're actually some people are using underwear, women's underwear,
like
as thong? Yeah, like as
what?
Corona mask. Oh, yeah. Yeah, go to social media. So I don't know. I mean,
anybody other than Curtis? I mean, I've seen Curtis do that, but is there anybody else?
What would be the difference between what would really be the difference between a scarf or, You know, no joking aside, but underwear aren't the same material.
This is Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
What's up, Dan?
Let me just get my radio off. I just wanted to weigh in on the whole mask situation. I was reading an article about it yesterday as they were unloading the planes, and they said the masks were all going to some storehouse in Marlboro. Did you guys hear anything about that?
No.
Well, they said, yeah. I did hear where they had to, like, decontaminate the masks, like, you know, go and clean them before they can just hand them out. So I don't know if that's the place that he's talking about.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about that. But the article that I read, which I think I got off of you guys' page yesterday, said that they were all heading to a storehouse in Marlboro. And I don't know how to track that kind of thing, but I have friends who are nurses at Mass General, and they're stuck wearing one mask for a whole week. So I think it's great what Kraft did. But the real applause will come when the healthcare workers start to see them, you know, and they're not seeing them yet. So
the National Guard will bring the masks to a Marlboro stockpile, Politico reported yesterday, but then they'll be dispersed.
I mean, Jonathan's on the MGH board, right? I mean, I would assume he's going to get that where it needs to go right away.
I mean, that's the problem. Like if you watch the briefing, the supply chain thing is a real issue. And they got the admiral who's in charge of that. That guy's amazing. But the problem is that there's all these different people involved in the supply chain. So even in the case of the bidding that's going on between the states, you then have the bidding that's going on with other countries trying to get all the supplies. And and then you have these brokers that are basically jacking the price up. And rather, you know, how do you feel about is it Peter Navarro, the guy who's in charge of trade for us? Who spoke yesterday? That guy is awesome, by the way. And he was talking about how they want to try to, from an executive order point of view, they want to say that masks, PPE, all that stuff, that it should only be, if it's made here in the United States, it should only be sold in the United States right now.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
Totally. I mean, I think that's obvious. That's a huge problem, right? Why is all this stuff coming from a place we can't get it?
Well, let's put us in this bill in the first place. How do you feel about that? I know you're not a big free enterprise person, but how do you feel about that when it comes to In this case, though,
it's a national
supply
emergency.
Supply, demand, no. Highest price. You say national emergency.
Correct.
You're okay with
this
everything?
This stuff has to, I hope we learn a lesson that the next time this happens, God forbid, we have stuff here in the United States we can draw from.
Well, the lesson should be that we're not buying 90% of what we buy from China and other places.
Right, but the problem is like you said, it's going to be supply, demand, and it's, if a company knows that they can get it from China for, you know, $10 cheaper, that's the way that they're going to look at it, right? I mean, yeah. That's the thing.
Plus, the consumer doesn't want to pay the overhead. The consumer just doesn't want to do it. People sit there and they virtue signal about buy American. And when it comes down to it and they see a product that is made American and they see a much higher price tag than something that's made in China, they scoff at it.
Well, yeah. I mean,
so I put some of the onus on the consumer.
But what percentage of the stuff that people are buying off of Amazon do you think is made in the United States? Like 10% of
Very
it?
Very little.
Yeah, I'd say
I don't
less
even think it's that.
That
much.
Yeah. All right. What else going on?
Good news for those who live in Cascade Township, Michigan. The infamous Cascade Flasher has been caught after 20 years.
It took 20 years?
20 years. Stephen Todd Pastores, 54 years old. He's been in jail since Wednesday this week. He allegedly confessed his crimes to investigators dating back to 2003. He allegedly had a routine. He kept his shirt and his hat on, but was naked from the waist down and would stand on people's decks or porches and then knock on their windows and then go ahead and engage in self-pleasuration and other activities.
Was he socially distant? I mean, I guess he was. If
he didn't
was
need to be at that time, but he was.
Yeah.
This is Lieutenant Joel Roon from the Kent County Sheriff's Department.
We believe him to be responsible for several dozen indecent exposures over the last almost 20 years. Part of what we know about this crime is that part of it is the reaction of the victim. It was typically an act that didn't have an extended duration to it, so it was typically he was sort of out of the area rather quickly and proved to be pretty evasive over the years.
And if you want, you can listen to him weeknight 6 to 10 on WEEI.
Oh,
did he have to get like in a lineup? You know, did they have to bring some of the people in and put them in a lineup? Just to make
you
sure,
like Porky's.
Yeah, just make sure they got the right
line up the D's.
Make sure they got the right guy.
Yeah.
Well, they probably can't even send him to jail because he might get the COVID. Like they're not sending anybody to jail anymore.
Danielle, office reference, Creed. Well, I don't get the big deal. He was just hanging brain.
Yes.
They just let Tekashi 6ix9ine out because of COVID-19.
Let's see here. Sex workers in the Tokyo red light district may be spreading the COVID.
Wait, they haven't shut down the sex district during the...
Shockingly,
during this...
no.
You're kidding me.
I'm not. Japanese media reports that dozens of sex workers have reportedly been infected with COVID, and they're having a big surge over in Japan right now. And sex workers and employees at the many adult-themed clubs have been confirmed to have been COVID positive.
Well,
and now they're concerned
down.
That they're just spreading it to everybody. I mean, talk about super spreading.
I mean, yeah, you have to be really desperate if you're going to a prostitute at this time. I mean, it would seem like it's the most
you think?
It's the most risky of all things to do, I would guess.
Yeah. Who would have thought that COVID would be the most risky thing that you'd face with a prostitute?
COVID-19.
What's more risky, sleeping with a prostitute or going on that flight with all those people up from Florida?
B.
A lot of people are saying that photo is a fake, Curtis.
Okay, well, then David Wade, who's a journalist with a big J, would be lying. I don't think he's lying.
Did you DM him about coming on the
show?
I
did. He has not gotten back to me yet.
Okay. Maybe he got duped. You know what I mean?
Maybe he was duped. Yeah.
Did you see that one of the Amazon warehouse employees has walked off the job because of frustrations due to sex toy sales?
No.
In that they should not be considered essential items. This was something I actually pondered like 2 weeks ago. I'm like, I wonder if that's something they'll be shipping out quickly or not. Because, you know, that might aid in keeping people's mental health stable.
Uh-huh.
But an Amazon worker at a Michigan warehouse walked off the job after learning that three coworkers at his facility were sick. And he claims that the company should be practicing social distancing by cutting hours and staff, and that non-essential items like sex toys should not be sold.
They should not be selling non-essential items. If you go on the website, all the essential items are sold out. Until you restock and until you close this building, shut it down. Dildos are not essential items. Books for kids, yes, but dildos, no.
I disagree, sir. I disagree.
Yes.
Well, is Amazon only supposed to be selling essential items? I mean, is there a guideline anywhere on that?
There isn't really a guideline. What they've done is they've shifted that as the priority. So if you order essential items, that's what goes out first. If you order, like I've ordered a couple of other things on Amazon that I've needed for like broadcast purposes here since I'm working from home. And the delivery times, they're pushing out 2 and 3 weeks.
Yeah, I ordered some stuff on Amazon, got it in a couple of days that wasn't for anything essential.
And God knows what those 50 Cape Cod pizzas held up when you got those the other day. I mean, was that essential?
What are we down to, by the way?
I think I got 32 of them sent to me by the amazing people at Cape Cod Pizza.
And they're gone.
And I utilized two for Julia and Brees Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So what's that, 30?
Yep.
So I'm sitting on 30. I got 30.
You're like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone. I'm lovely cheese pizza for me.
I am hoarding. I'm hoarding frozen Cape Cod pizzas.
Those were birthday presents for your kids?
Surprise, you didn't have nobody to hand them out to?
Maybe I will if things get
No, when they came here.
Here at the station?
No, totally gave me the Heisman.
No, you didn't ask, Curtis.
You're tacky to ask.
Curtis is one of these, the most annoying type of person, which is a reformed fat person. So I'm not going to offer him a frozen pizza because he's Mr. Dietary.
So that's your reasoning? You never want to be a reformed. That's your rationalization, Greg? You never want to be a reformed fat person?
I will bring one. You want me to bring one into you? I'll bring one in Monday.
Oh, I mean, if there's
I'll
any
take
left.
A mask. You got a mask left?
Yes, we
it's
do.
Not like you're offering him gin. It's a pizza. And
here's Bill from Logan Airport. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, everybody.
How are you?
Bill.
All is well here. In fact, I want to say good morning to all of you, and especially I want to say hello to Wiggy.
What up?
Wiggy, I'm one of the guys at the, remember that football game in Saugus a little while back?
Mm-hmm.
You attended over at Hockey Town?
Yep, I do remember that.
I'm one of your boys.
Okay, all right, I know who you are.
So I wanted to weigh in. I was driving into work this morning, and I heard the report about a photograph of a crowded airplane.
Yes,
and I just had to call in and say it has to be a fake photo because we're not seeing. There are more of us in the terminals right now than there are passengers. The airport workers, the law enforcement, the state police here, and the airport workers outnumber the passengers, and even the flight crews outnumber the passengers. There's just nobody flying. There are flights moving around. I think about 80% of them are canceled. But the people that are flying, they're so far and few between. We spoke to one pilot the other day, and he said it cost like $150,000 on his flight to move three people from point A to point B.
Wow.
They were using 100,000 pounds of fuel. They had three passengers.
Ken, what a massive carbon imprint. Hmm. That is.
Well, I'm looking at the picture right now, and the people that are on the plane are wearing masks. So this is obviously during the coronavirus crisis. It's not old or fake. I mean, nobody was flying with masks before this started.
I mean, could that have been taken even 4 weeks ago before this thing really became as big as it is today? Because as you all know, this is evolving. This is evolving. Every couple of hours, something's changing. And protocols are changing. I know our protocols are changing on an hourly basis here.
Bill, do you think Curtis's lead this morning was that domestic air travel should just be shut down? Do you agree with that?
Well, I think for all intents and purposes, I think it is. I think it's already shut down, even though it's not technically shut down. Believe me, if you were to drive over to the airport and go up to the departure level at any of the terminals and just do a drive by, there's no Ubers, no limos, no taxis. The garages are empty. I just don't know where that information's coming from.
It was sent to David Wade from a flight attendant yesterday. I don't know when the flight exactly took place, but there are several people on the plane that are all wearing masks, and I don't think that was going on even a month ago on flight.
How many people are on the flight in the photo?
It's a full flight.
Yeah, I've seen the photo. Isn't it like a flight from Alaska, Curtis?
I have no idea.
It says this Boston doesn't look like Alaska flight. Attire.
Oh, okay.
Why did you ask Alaska?
Well, I saw something on social media where there was a flight that was supposed to be coming from Anchorage, Alaska to Boston, so I didn't know.
It looks like a JetBlue flight based on what's on the TVs.
Guys, I was here yesterday, I was here for 12 hours yesterday, and I didn't see it. I think the biggest event we had yesterday was the Patriots aircraft coming in, and all hands were on deck for that. I just thought I'd give you the benefit of my observations here.
All right, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks. Well, it's interesting to say because he says that 80% of the flights are getting canceled. So I you know, why not just shut it down completely for just whether it's 2 or 3 weeks?
The poll question we have: should we ground all domestic flights? Yes, 65%.
65% on the Twitter feed say that.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Zach.
Yo.
What's up, Zach?
Hey, Greg, first off, I want to say one thing. Like, what you're doing, I used to be a bartender for years, waiter, I'm not now, but, like, awesome work, and I really appreciate you. I really appreciate the show. I appreciate everyone, even Curtis. And, like, you know, it's all great, man. It's all great. But I will say this. Your kind of sensationalism about the restriction of rights of movement right now are ludicrous. Like, you seem to be this amazingly logical, self-taught guy.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes when you're talking about, for instance, when you first heard this morning that there might have been this flight that came in, it didn't bother you. Now, it sounded crazy to me, and I actually sent a text that said, there should be no non-essential flights. There should be no crossing borders. Like, listen, we're destroying our economy. If we're going to do it, shut it down. Like, so, if we're really so worried about this virus, shut it down. So, and it's time. It's time. Let me just say this one thing.
Yeah,
it's time for this entitled kind of civilization to take a break for everyone else. And in my opinion, the government should just shut down all payments, mortgages, credit, everything. You look at the fact that there's been 6.6 million in the United States claims for unemployment. Oh, I hate to tell you, but 2.2 trillion, don't cover it. You better check the math on that.
But can I ask you, Zach, and I appreciate your point of view, and a lot of people say this to me. Have you thought at all about what happens afterward? So right now, we are flattening the curve, correct?
Well, I agree. There's no evidence to show it, and there's no evidence to dispute it.
So we are flattening the curve right now.
Mm-hmm.
What happens afterward, short of a vaccine, which is a year away?
Mm-hmm.
What happens afterward? When is it right to go back out and try to save the economic portion of this country? When it's not going to be, you can't be both ways about it, Zach. You can't say shut everything.
I'm not being both ways.
My suspicion is that people don't, they haven't thought about this. So you can.
I would love to answer your question.
So, okay, go ahead. Answer it.
So first you have to get to afterward. Number one.
Okay, so let's say May 5th. Or let's say May 15th is afterward, okay? So we get to afterward. What happens then?
That's a great question. So I've thought about it a little bit. And what I'm thinking is this. Like, I don't know what goes back first, schools or people going to work, right? I think you cancel the school world and the year. I have a whole other idea about the school situation. Yeah. However, you start to let certain economic groups go back to work, and you do it slowly. On the same kind of lag that you're looking for, 2 or 3 week lag, to see if you register a spike in new transmission. Right now, all the data shows, and I am qualified to talk about this, all the data that I've read and seen, okay, says that we don't know if the spikes we're seeing are a result of new transmission or a result, an artifact, a statistical artifact of the complete lag and lack of leadership we've had in this country in testing and the ability to track what's going on. And that's what, and Danielle is right on. And I don't know if she's more comfortable with it because she's kind of naturally an isolationist, but like she's kind of right on with it more so. Every time you say something that bothers me, she jumps in and says, you know, listen, you can't have people crossing state lines, the whole state. Look, the golf thing. Initially, it sounds like a great idea. You're way apart from everyone. Well, guess what? Everyone reaches into the same hole to grab a golf ball. Are they sanitizing the hole every time?
They aren't doing that in Tokyo either, evidently.
Hey, listen, that's the way it works. The CDC, now, this is ridiculous. The country is not educated. The layman is not educated on how to use PPE. Talk about the masks. They've already told us, if you're not sick, don't use it. You know why? No one's telling you why. The masks are like kind of a gatherer for on the outside. You know how to use, you have to know how to use PPE. I went to the grocery store. I see people with masks. I'm leaving the grocery store parking lot. I see a guy with the mask down on his chin driving his car. Mm. Well, his chin is infiltrated with whatever he touched.
Mm-hmm.
It's the way it works, guys.
Listen, I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate everybody's opinion. There are people that are much smarter than I am on these kinds of things. I just get concerned when it comes to Ken and Danielle and Nick and others that they're getting a false sense of security from flattening the curve because
No, I'm not getting a false sense of security because I still don't think enough people are taking it seriously.
Okay,
I think you have the bulk of people that are, but you still have a lot of people that are exposing themselves to risks unnecessarily, and that's screwing everybody and the economy.
But you realize that we're going to have to open the country up again.
That was one of the first things I said was I was more fearful of the effects on the economy than the death toll.
So when we open it up again, short of a vaccine, there's nothing that stops this from happening again.
Right.
And 6 million people.
Right. You're right about
that. Is there anything that stops it from happening again?
Well, you've passed the surge point. So hopefully your hospitals can handle another bump.
You're going to get to another surge point.
But not the max peak. That's the hope.
Well, if they're saying the max peak is, what, April 16th? Is that here in Massachusetts, right?
Around there.
Yeah. So then usually what's that mean? After the April 16th, we should be coming down, right? So then if we're coming down and we get to May 4th, are we then going
to... Then you're going to open it up and everybody's going to start to go back out again.
And we had 6 million Americans in 1 week. File unemployment claims.
Yes,
that is a massive.
We're at 10 million jobs lost.
So 10 million Americans have lost their job because of the coronavirus reaction. So just understand that that is a major, major issue. I know we don't want to have dead people. I know we don't want to have elderly people die or our citizens that have bad immune systems, all of that. But this is a unprecedented toll on the economy.
And how long can you keep? And that's the kind of the issue that I have with the governor. When you start to put like dates on when things are going, I'd rather just say, you know, we're shutting everything down indefinitely. Because now when March 4th gets here, you start to say, okay, what are we doing with schools?
May 4th.
Oh, excuse me, May 4th. What are we doing with schools? But then
they're not going back this year.
All right. So then why not just cancel it then? Why even say May 4th? Why not just
because they want to give people some sort of hope that they like human nature is you want to have some sort of hope.
But is it hope when you get my hopes up? But then as soon as we get close to May 4th, you basically say, you know what? Schools are done for the year.
Yeah, your hopes are up.
Yeah. Hello, Jack. I know we're up against the clock.
Good morning, Hillman. We're up against the clock real quick. Listen, this was an excellent ploy for China to basically destroy our economy without fighting a shot with biological warfare.
Well.
They've shut us down. Listen, they could kill a million of their people; they wouldn't blink an eye.
Yeah, I don't know. I need evidence. I can't speculate about that. This 401 texter says, "Greg, you idiot! The quicker we flatten the curve, the quicker we can open the economy up. What don't you get about that?"
Thank you,
Ken. Think about it, please. Do a little thinking past tomorrow. We flatten the curve now. Why does the curve not expand again when everybody comes out without a virus? Without a vaccine. The vaccine is the only thing that stops it.
Well, it's not going to stop it, but your hospitals can manage the amount of patients in the tip of the top of the surge point.
I would say that. So it's the hospitals can manage. So in another couple of months when everybody gets back out, so we go out May 5th.
Maybe.
Everybody starts mingling together again. People start irresponsibly golfing together in Rhode Island. Police are not arresting them. People are going to beaches. They're walking next to each other, near each other.
The spike won't be as bad.
So when that spike comes back up again, and the hospitals aren't able to handle it, what are we going to do then?
You've heard Dr.
We're
going
to shut the economy down again.
You might have to. Dr.
Boney
said that.
Down
it might be waves,
again, right? Just
Greg, remember that video we saw that turned out to be just a training video in Wuhan of them putting the net over the people? Like, we're pretty close to that right now. Like, we thought that was insane.
Yes.
That's almost our reality.
Yes. Well, that was before the new normal.
Right. Unprecedented.
Unprecedented. We live in interesting times.
Very interesting.
All right. We got to take a break, but we'll be right back.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.